Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harrison. With me, as always, is my co-host. His name is RJ Sines.
In 2D.
Not today. We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and what are some of the worst superhero names ever.
Mud Mouth.
How about Porch Lad?
Captain Sad.
Tears, kid.
Inside Out Shirt Boy.
How about Mr. Meat?
Doctor Hospital Waiting Room. He's not an actual doctor.
Captain Bag of Bones.
Bag of Bones.
Hey, he's a captain, so he's got more going for him than just that. We're going to talk about Bob's Burgers today. That's right. It's the animated sitcom that always serves its jokes well done. But before we get into Bob...
Get it?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, that's a good joke.
Thanks. But before we get into Bob's Burgers, with that goodness... RJ's going to take us through comedy news. Ready, set, go.
Oh, we're not holding our breath.
Yeah, ready, set, go.
Yeah, right. So, some good news coming your way, folks of Netflix subscriptions. Mike Birbiglia's stand-up special, Thank God for Jokes, is now airing. Streaming. It's very funny. Honest to God, I love Mike Birbiglia. I think he does a great job. I watched Sleepwalk With Me and just recently...
Don't Stop Laughing.
Don't Think Once.
Twice.
Oh, yeah. Don't Think Twice, which is another really good movie that just came out. We talked about it in some of our favorite comedies of 2016. But yeah, Thank God for Jokes is on Netflix. Very funny. He's just got a really well-written special all around. It's just well-crafted. I think his style of jokes is a good blend of story and like stream of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And it's really refreshing, I just think. And he has this really good bit where he's talking about how he had to follow Fozzie Bear from the Muppets. Like he did a show with the Muppets. And he's just talking about like, by the way, how hard is it to go on after Fozzie Bear? Like, how do you follow that? The guy's punchline is waka waka waka. And he's like, and you also learn that the people who go see the Muppets don't want to see some guy just drop an F-bomb, which is what I normally don't do. But I was so nervous, I walked out there without my stool. So I went to the front of the stage and kind of circled around back again and grabbed my stool. Came back and just dropped the F-bomb, and everyone kind of looked at me sad. He's like, also, I'm pretty sure those two old guys, Stantler and Waldorf, aren't they gay? Think about it. Two old dudes, don't have any wives, just go to theater all the time. You do the math.
I really like him. I feel like he's kind of that quintessential comedian. Like, I feel like he's a comedian's comedian. He's really good, but not necessarily like a household name.
Yeah, that's it.
You know what I mean?
He said...
He's not a Dane Cook. He's not like, you know, everybody knows him and everyone has that quotable joke.
He even addressed that. He's like, because, you know, you had to tell people who I was when they asked you where you were going tonight.
That's awesome.
And then you had to think of one of my movies, and then they couldn't remember what movie that was. So, he's got some great bits. Some TV news. Comedy Central has just ordered a weekly late-night talk show from comedian Jim Jefferies, the Aussie comedian. We actually talked about him in our offensive comedy episode. Yeah. He opens with a Bill Cosby rape joke, which is, you know...
Offensive.
Offensively funny.
And that's what made it on the podcast.
It made it on the pod. It was a good joke. So, anyways, the show is designed to take... take on culture and politics, and have Jeffries travel around the world, just talking about controversial stories of the week. So, sounds fun. He's a pretty entertaining dude.
That's like right up his alley.
It's like, you know, parts unknown for Anthony Bourdain, except he's a comedian who doesn't want to eat stuff, and he's got an Australian accent. He's like, hey, I don't want to eat that. Get that out of here. Because he's not going to be eating anything either.
Right.
I don't want to talk about that. that's a good Jim Jeffries impression, RJ. Good job. thanks, who, Ben. So nice.
Who said that?
Oh, man. Oh. Gotta love that in-studio audience. another interesting thing. Yeah. We give everyone in our audience a mic, so if you ever get a ticket, it costs a lot of money, but you get a mic.
so you can just say whatever comes to your mind.
Yeah.
Cool.
But they're all very silent most of the time. Yeah, in case you're all wondering.
They're respectful.
Yeah, very respectful.
They get it. Showbiz, yeah. Guys. We're professionals.
It's a privilege, not a right. So, Saturday Night Live.
What? That's a show I watch.
It's there. It's in talks with NBC to turn Weekend Update into a weekly show. Just standalone. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, okay, so you want to take probably one of the better portions of your show consistently, and I'm assuming they take it out of Saturday. I mean, you don't have Weekend Update on SNL and then, hey, we're here again just for an hour and a half or 30 minutes or whatever.
Well, you think that's the better part of the show?
It's consistently one of the better parts.
For you?
Historically.
No, for you, like currently.
Because
they're not going to take the old stuff. They're going to take the new stuff.
No, I know, but yeah. I think, I don't know. I think when Weekend Update is at its best, it's one of the better parts of the show. Consistently.
Majority of the time, I fast forward Weekend Update.
Wow. I fast forward to The Musician.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, no, I don't even fast forward. I just
more like
skip
Chance
ahead.
The Crapper next. No. So either way, I don't know. I don't think it would do well on its own. I don't know if it would do the show any favors not being on the show. But
maybe, I mean, maybe their thought process is it is a different audience. You know, people like sketch comedy, but also people like topical news.
Yeah, so then
jabs.
Go watch The Daily Show.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're taking SNL's Daily Show light instead of just saying it's just going to be a bit. They're going to say, you know, but here's my question. What happens to
Colin Jost?
No.
Michael Che?
No. Anthony Crispino. What happens to all those classic characters who slide in and go, so I heard this thing.
Well, exactly. And
that's Anthony Crispino.
Right. I know, and that's a good one. That's where Weekend Update's at its best, when they have those characters come on. Yeah, Drunk Uncle come on. Oh, my gosh. You know, and so if they don't have those characters on the show, or if they do, if they don't, maybe, I don't know. I mean, if you think about it, it could be a really interesting way to, you know, spread out the SNL audience.
Yeah.
And maybe even give some of the cast, like, more time on other shows or doing other things. And that could be cool. I'm open to it, but I'm also open to a Laser Cat spinoff. You know, all these other shows come to mind, like the Ambiguously Gay Duo. I'd rather watch that. I'd rather watch Bear City for
You're
30
saying
minutes.
There's better sketches to take and make its own show?
There's better bits to make its own show. That's for damn sure. All the What's Up With That show. I could watch What's Up With That for 30 minutes every night.
No, you couldn't.
It's so funny
to
me.
No, you could not.
It's so funny. It kills me. And they always have, like, Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro. He said, she said, we said, we said, what's up with that? And there's those weird dance moves.
Gonna get a little funkalicious.
And Jason Sudeikis is doing the Running Man in the background.
And Fred Armisen always has, like, full Kenny G hair.
And Bill Hader never gets a word in as Lindsey Buckingham. That's the best. That is one of my favorite sketches.
But then, like, he comes around, he's like, like, shakes his shoulders.
You better be Lindsay. He's just shaking his shoulders.
Right. So good.
I can't say mad
so at you. Stupid.
It is stupid, but that's what I mean. Like, is, does this mean that other sketches could get a 30-minute slot on NBC?
No, I don't think so. But my question is, does SNL become, what, like 20 minutes shorter, or do they just get more room for sketches?
I would hope they fill it with better sketches, but seeing as though they still cut, like, you know, multiple sketches a week.
Yeah, and consistently, at least with this current cast and season, like, past the second musical performance, there's usually rarely a good sketch.
Yeah. I think this season they've really been riding on the success they've found in their
David
political
Pumpkins.
David S. Pumpkins mostly. No, and Alec Baldwin doing
right,
the
no,
Trump
yeah,
impression.
For sure.
You know, they've been riding that, and honestly, they could be doing that for another 4 years and be considered one of the best, like, SNL eras, because their political stuff right now is just on point, right on the nose. They had what's her face, Melissa McCarthy, doing an amazing Sean Spicer. They had her on twice already.
Really?
So, and they had a great cold open just on Saturday with Jeff Sessions, but it was Kate McKinnon, Forrest Gump bit. It was dumb, but good. And again, they could do that forever, and that'd be funny.
And Ali B does, like, an amazing Trump.
Oh, yeah.
So good. I am perfect. I can't do Trump at all.
Yeah, it's... I mean, Daryl Hammond did Donald Trump for years on the show. Years. He is Donald Trump.
He did a lot.
He did a lot for years, but yeah. Donald Trump was one of his key characters. And Alec Baldwin, it was like, where did this come from?
I know, right?
Have you been hiding this? Did Lorne Michaels know and not tell us and then just call you up?
Well, Alec Baldwin does have, like, just a list of random, eclectic cameos, or not cameos, what am I thinking of? Impressions that he can just nail. Like, on 30 Rock, like, all of a sudden he'll bust out some stuff and you're like, what? That's, like, really good.
He's just a really good actor.
In his Comedians and Cards of Coffee, he talks about that. He has, like, just a handful of impressions that aren't necessarily, like, the popular impression, like Arnold or something,
mm-hmm.
but they're, like, weird, and he nails them.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Anyways, that's all I got for news. We'll see what happens to SNL. Good luck to them and Weekend
Update.
Good
luck with them, and good luck with that.
That works.
So good.
But thanks for coming here for the show. We'll see you guys next week.
The old end the podcast early. No, we haven't gotten into the goodness of Bob's Burgers. Let me give you a little brief history on Bob's Burgers. In 2009, Lauren Bouchard and writer-producer for King of the Hill, Jim Dodderiv, decided to create an animated comedy about a family in a hamburger restaurant. Bouchard had already dabbled in animation while working on Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist, and Home Movies, but he wanted to create a show that centered around the working class family filled with blue-collar creatives, a family that he felt was underrepresented in the current sitcom climate. That's Bob Burgers in a nut.
In a nutshell, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think so this is one of the more newer just topics we're covering, and you know, this is something that I remember when it came out, I had no idea, you know, who Lauren Bouchard was or mm-hmm. what he had done prior, but I really think that, you know, as far as animated, you know, comedy goes, this really took a fresh take on a lot of the stuff that we've seen with, you know, of course, The Simpsons is mm-hmm. the big one. And, you know, he worked with Jim Dodder of King of the Hill, another mm-hmm. big one. And even more recently, Family Guy, which I would say is like the modern staple. But this is, it's in a totally different world.
It is.
Oh, they're all the same. They're all animated. No, there's no cutaway gags. There's no, like...
Yeah.
You know, stupid, raunch, sexual humor unnecessarily.
And like, yeah, I mean, we'll get way more into it, but like just the use of music and sound is pretty key for this show.
And so unique to it. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of shows do.
Here's a wacky fact for you. I'm 95% sure, unless you're about to correct me right now, that this is the first time that Why Am I Laughing has covered a show that is currently has seasons coming out. Okay, see you, everyone. I've been fired.
You're right. No.
What am I doing?
No, you're absolutely correct.
Oh, okay, good lord. I thought I was right. Okay.
I just wanted to see the disappointment on your face. No, you're absolutely correct. I don't think this is the first time we are covering a show that is
still running.
It's on its seventh season.
Mm-hmm.
And strong question mark. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Sure.
But Ben, the real question here is not how many shows have we done that aren't currently running. It's why is it funny?
Oh, RJ, I thought you'd never ask.
I bet you did.
No, I knew you would because it's a part of our show. Oh. Here's why it's funny. Bob's Burgers is funny because it brings a unique and unprecedented positivity to animated sitcoms, equipped with some high-quality writing. Through the use of music and pop culture references, puns, and dialogue, Bob's Burgers brings to life a unique and intricate cast of characters that put on a show for us each and every week. Bob's Burgers really is not like a lot of things on TV.
No, and it's I think they really play into what I would say some of the Disney classics play into best, which is this is a performance. Like, this is a show. And as much as it is, like, just a show about some, dumpy little restaurant where a family that works and goes crazy with each other is, like, the show in and of itself will, like, put on a spectacle for the audience. So often, the characters not only put on shows for each other or their school or for their parents, but also just, like, as an overall, like, performance piece, like, there's some really interesting and creative uses of music that are here. And it's like, I think June or July, they released like a 4 LP box set of Bob's Burgers music on vinyl. Like, so much music they've created. They've from scratch. The National, the band, the National has covered lots of the songs that they sing. And it's just something that, to me, it's like, they've really got, like, the capital on songs and animation.
So let's get into it. I mean, you kind of have, covered some of it, but, like, the style of this show, again, very focused on music and sounds. I really like how I feel like this show kind of, like, grabs you by the face and just tells you where to pay attention. Do you know what I mean? It will... at some times, like, have, like almost, like, dinner theater-esque...
Yeah.
Like, moment where it like, will zoom in sharp on somebody's face and have, like, a... I've never seen that done, but, like, in an animated show. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, there's going to be so many times that we allude back to, Simpsons or Family Guy. It's not kidding itself with the way it's set up. It's not trying to be just for, like, an adulty, like, Adult Swim audience,
sure.
Right? There's a lot of adulty jokes, but it's so friendly. It's so, like, inviting and innocent. And just playful. It's a playfully funny, silly, fun time kind of show for the most part. And I think that's a part of that. Like, that kind of, like, hey, come on down to the dinner theater, see? We're going to put on a show for you. Like, it's I don't even know
with
how to
like
describe
a, with, like, a childish take on that. Like, almost every character, sometimes including Bob, but sometimes excluding Bob, is just super childish. I mean, half of the cast is childs. Child's plural.
Yes.
That's how you say the plural of child.
I thought
right?
you were saying
child's plural.
That's also the name of the world's worst superhero. Child's plural.
Group of children.
Child's plural is here. What does that mean? Shut up.
But yeah, so it just has a big innocence about it where the mom and the kids are all just, I don't know, they're bringing it down to just, like, so many fart jokes, but not like cheap laughs.
Right,
There's
an intellectualness to it, for sure. So just, like, to give everyone here a frame of reference, we have Bob Belcher. his wife, Linda, daughter, Tina, son, Gene, and youngest, Louise. And they all live in this restaurant in what's like a New Jersey sea town on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this eclectic little community that's like, you know, they're all working class people. He's, you know, been working at a restaurant since he was a kid. He worked at his dad's restaurant growing up. And they just... they're just trying to work and do their life. And
they're
go to
surviving,
school.
Really. I mean, a lot of the show has to do with keeping the restaurant open because that's their livelihood.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes they touch on that more than others. But I would say, for the most part, there's not a lot of seriousness or, like, plot-driven episodes as far as, like, staying alive or, like, we need to keep the family afloat, like, we're not gonna have any money. But that's another interesting thing.
But that's Bob's main focus is what I meant. It's like,
yeah,
his whole thing is like, okay, like, he's just grumbly because he's like, well, you guys are all about, like, this flash, you know, kind of like, let's put on a big show. But at the end of the day, like, we need to sell burgers.
Exactly. Gene, no, please don't sell burgers to the people coming out of the memorial service. No, Gene, I told you, don't do that, please. So the thing that really gets me with this show is, unlike, you know, Simpsons or Family Guy, this is a family unit that doesn't hate each other. This is a family unit that's not bagging on each other constantly. I mean, yes, they're all, you know, sometimes at odds with each other or driving each other insane. Bob is always just like, kids, calm down, everyone, be quiet. Linda, stop. Like, but they're not, like, their catchphrase isn't, damn it, Meg, you're the worst ever. I hate you as a dad. Like, that's not any part of the show.
Right.
So for me, it's like so funny that they're able to make legitimate comedy without taking each other down a peg.
Well, I feel like typically the, like, you know, Homer, Peter, the male, the father in this, you know, archetypal animated family is the eccentric one.
Yeah.
Right. And for this, they went, let's flip it. You know, Linda is more eccentric. Bob is the grounded one. You know, normally, you know, Lois and Marge are like trying to rein Homer and Peter in, where this is like, you know, John H. Benjamin's character is like, we just have to sell burgers. Like, this is, I'm not joking around. I'm like, I'm very serious, but
Linda, don't get the possum outside. Come back in. My little King Trash Mouth. No, Linda, please.
Yeah, and like, so she is more, which I think, like, I don't know, it's not a, you know, gender thing, but just like having the lady be that more outlandish role brings more of an innocence because she's a mom. She's just a hyperactive mom.
Yeah.
She just loves her kids so much. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's the other thing. So like, Linda isn't like she's always positive. She's uppity and she loves caring for her kids in that way. But yeah, all going back to, this is, you know, at the end of the day, the family isn't always learning a lesson, but they're not beating each other down.
Yeah.
Right. You know, there's a lot of failure. Obviously, it's what makes these kind of comedies so funny, but they're like, it's okay, I can't get mad at you forever. Like that kind of thing. Like there's these little moments that are like sweet and they kind of like cover it up with a bunch of jokes that are, you know, hilarious. But I just think that's so unique and obviously more difficult to make a sweet family comedy animated, like actually funny. Because it's so much easier to knock people down and be negative and say mean things.
But you're right. You're very right in, like, when you think of, I mean, it's so easy to compare Family Guy and Simpsons. But when you think of those shows, most of their storylines come from an internal plot development. Mm-hmm. You know, they are disagreeing within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Where this has a lot of external plot development. Like, the landlord comes in and says, this is late. Or, you know...
hostage situation.
Yeah, somebody robs the store, or like they're being health inspected. Like, there's a lot of the outside coming in to further their plots. It's not like what you said. Like, it's not about coming together and learning this lesson. They don't have a lot of lessons to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Their family unit is pretty well tight. I mean, whatever. But like they're overcoming obstacles that are kind of outside forces, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Not typical.
No, yeah. So I mean, again, we probably keep going back to this. This is a non-typical animated sitcom, and especially in the way it defies family stereotypes, and even just how these kinds of shows should work. The way they incorporate the music is phenomenal. We can get into a lot more of that later.
Yeah, we've kind of fleshed out Bob and Linda really well.
Yeah.
But let's get into the kids. Tina, the oldest, is just this awkward, like, bag of bones, right?
She preteen just, girl. Yeah,
she's just, like, right on the threshold of puberty and like,
perpetually on the threshold for seven seasons on the threshold of
loving
puberty.
Every minute of it. She's boy crazy and terrified.
Yeah. She's boy crazy, socially awkward, but like strangely independent, like this confidence. I don't know if it was like right away in season one, maybe in a couple other seasons later, but she just gets like this fierce independence like about her, but like it never comes out the right way.
Right.
And she's
in season one, there's an episode where she's trying to get a kiss from Jimmy Pesto, and she at the end of the episode, she gets the confidence from the like transvestite prostitutes that Bob has been taxiing around
because
he invited him to her birthday party, and then I think she gets the kiss in that episode. But like, yeah, she's got like misguided confidence and like just like this terrified nature about her. Where
and she has some of the
her
best.
Go-to line is.
Yeah, just her uncomfortability externalized.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just love like the moments that you see like almost in her head almost where she is like full Tina and she'll just be like, your ass is grass and I'm gonna mow it.
Like,
oh my gosh, it's so awkward. Yeah. But then she just she gets up to that moment and goes, doesn't know what to say. Yeah. Oh man.
And then you got Gene. The middle child boy.
All external.
Totally, like, just, yeah, like, typical boy. I mean.
All boy.
Yeah. For a long time, I mean, me my whole life, but you for a long time, we were both the boy with two other sisters.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
And, like, you just aren't aware of a lot of things.
No, and that's
they love that about Gene. They really revel in that where he cares about his sisters, but he's just not like, you know, really mindful.
He's not really mindful of anybody for that matter.
Exactly.
Like, I love there's this one scene, I think it's the episode where he gets a girlfriend and doesn't even try to, but he ends up getting this girlfriend and she's like, no, it's because I have a congenital heart disease. And he's like, well, everyone, let's get our congenitals to class. Like, he's just so stream of consciousness, says the first thing that comes to his mind, literally walks around with a Casio keyboard where he has pre-recorded barks and fart noises.
Yeah.
And it's just, he's a musical mastermind. He's
it's
got some
so
of the,
good.
The best things that he'll come up, jingles, whatever. There's multiple episodes where he's involved in writing a song or making a musical. One of my favorite things is when they do the
dinner theater.
No, yes, but they do this musical. They do two musicals at their play. One girl tries to do Working Girl, and he tries to do a Die Hard musical, like in Rival, like Under the Basement, that musical. And then they end up combining at the end for Work Hard or Die Trying Girl, the musical. It's just so good. And that's what I'm talking about when we said this show really puts on a show.
Yeah.
Like that, like just having those two musicals uniquely is funny that they made up songs for those musicals.
That's so good.
They like really went all out and said, let's combine these two.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a hilarious ending song where it's like, work hard or die trying, girl.
Oh my gosh. And yeah, that goes into like some of the things that we just kind of glossed over in why it's funny, but the writing of this show is next level.
Yeah, I mean, all of Gene's lines are hilarious.
Yes,
like, I'm not even kidding you. I think,
but like, smart hilarious.
Yeah,
smart hilarious, yet fitting for how old is Gene? He's like a,
he's got to be 10, 11 or
yeah,
12.
Yeah, 10, 11. Yeah. But like, totally fitting to his character, yet like adult level intelligence.
Yeah.
Am I making any sense?
Yes.
Like, the jokes are at that level.
Well,
but
obviously it wasn't written by a 12-year-old, so you're correct in that, from that.
But like, oh my gosh, like, my favorite thing is all the Burger of the Days.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, it's so good. The writing room, I would love to be a fly on the wall.
Well, and the best thing about the Burger of the Day is it's never announced necessarily. It's yeah. always in the background. And if the camera,
exactly.
which is like, it's an animation, doesn't have to pan to the right,
right.
where you see a little inkling of the Burger of the Day, but you go side by and you see poutine on the Ritz Burger of the Day. You know, baby, you can chive my car. Let's give him something shiitake about burger. And they're just these beautiful wordplays that just so delicately placed casually in the episode.
Oh my gosh. If looks could kale. Top bun.
Yeah. Some of the puns are just miserable. But I love the burger puns. And that's, you know, that's Bob. He's, I think that's where he expresses a lot of his creativity as a, you know, as a cook and as a, you know, almost yeah. a writer kind of. Because he makes up puns all the time when he's cooking and stuff. But
so good. One of my favorite ones from season one, or wait, no, I can't remember which season it is the child mole Esther.
Oh my.
And then next to it, it just says comes with candy.
That's terribly funny.
Oh my gosh. So bad, but so good. I don't even think Bob writes that one. I think it's Louise.
Yeah, who is, that would make sense. She is the evil genius mastermind. And you were just saying, oh, you know, Gene has these lines where it's like, it seems like a really smart person wrote his lines, but it comes out like he's a 12-year-old. Louise sounds like a supervillain aged like 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's so intelligent. And she, like, knows so many things. She comes up with these wacky plans, diabolical plans to get back at people who have wronged her, to get back at, you know, adults, to get them away from their parents or whatever. And I think Kristen Schaal, the girl who voices her, just has a distinct high-pitched voice
yeah.
that's just, like, similarly annoying to Linda, but not. It's just a different pitch.
Yeah. Less mom,
yeah.
more little kid.
Yeah.
Which is perfect. But yeah, she's really great. She's in Last Man on Earth, which is one of my
That's right.
current favorite TV shows right now.
I think just harmonically, is that the word? I'm not a musician. Melodically, having Tina, Gene, and Louise, when you hear them like all yelling at the same time, like I don't and then
yeah,
and then like it's just this crazy but like harmonious thing, yeah, like all at the same time. Bob's like, kids, calm, hey, everyone, calm down.
Oh my God.
And then Linda comes in, Bobby, no, listen to me. Like, it's just all of it just sounds so. I mean, I obviously
you're all hands when you do Linda.
I know. Oh, little baby Bobby,
you just put your hands in the air.
Oh my God,
yeah,
that's
but
the,
it helps them do the impression, guys. It's yeah. really good. That's funny.
I love the do you remember the episode where Gene dresses up like Bob, his dad?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
they shave his head and give him like
mini,
a mustache.
Mini Bob.
And
little baby Bobby.
Oh, it's so cute. Oh, Bobby looks just like you. He looks nothing like
He's
me.
Like, oh,
I look exactly God. Like you. Oh my God, he does a good impression. Like, it's so funny.
That is like a masterful scene. I love that scene.
I think Linda might be one of my favorite television characters. Just relentless support for everything her children does. On
yeah.
board, and just sassy, fun. Just that East Coast kind of
yeah.
like, I don't know, Jersey girl, yeah. funny antics. And
my wife will daily send me a meme of her, and it just says, 90% of marriage is yelling from the other room, what?
All All right. There's like a 2-minute montage of Linda saying all right, and like a 3-minute montage of Bob saying, oh my God, oh my God,
oh my God,
oh God, oh God, oh my God. Like, just amazingly classic. Geez, there's just so many great characters in this show.
Yeah.
There's all, you know, Teddy, the guy. Mm-hmm. Hey, Bobby.
One can do Teddy. He's just weird.
He has a weird voice.
Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
He's like a handyman.
Yeah.
Or like
I'm sounding like Lou Ferrigno. I don't want to do that.
Lou Ferrigno's deaf.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Everybody want a peanut? Yeah, there you go. You nailed it.
Anyways.
You got Mort the Mortician.
Yeah, Mortician. Yeah. Mort the Mortician.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
He has a shop next door.
You know, the Pestos, Jimmy Jr., Ollie and Andy, who are just the annoying twins. For whatever reason, the line sticking to my mind is they're like doing school news,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, their anchors like, back to you, Andy, back to you, Ollie, back to you, Andy, back to you, Ollie. They're just like really weird,
just that annoying neighbor kid,
yeah,
that you grew up with,
but two of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh. Some of the other school kids like Tammy and Zeke, and Zeke is just crazy. He's like some southern kid. He's just like,
yeah, he's the cousin of Jimmy Pesto.
I didn't think they were cousins. I think they were just best friends.
Like, hey man, I'm your cousin and I'm in town. He's like, he's just really intense.
I didn't think he was a cousin.
Yeah, I thought they were cousins or related in some way.
I'll have to fact check that. I did not know they were related.
Because there's the episode where they like go spy on the nude beach. I think that's when he says it.
That's funny. I have no idea. But gosh, and these characters, all these outside characters,
right.
So many amazing voices from like Bill Hader, Mickey, the guy who's in the hostage situation,
mm-hmm.
Will Forte, who plays like the guy who is in charge of the school news stuff, Tim Meadows, Rachel Dratch, Patton Oswalt's in it,
mm-hmm.
Zach Galifianakis, Nick Offerman, Sarah Silverman, Billy Eichner. Do you know Billy Eichner's in it as that librarian in the the Thomas Edison episode?
No, I didn't know that. That makes perfect sense.
Ken Jeong, Jordan Peele, Jenny Slate. Jenny Slate's in everything.
Yeah, here, almost a wacky fact, like almost half of those names all appear in Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah. They're all friends. I don't
know.
Yeah,
I love it. It's perfect.
And that's why I was trying to draw the connection between Lauren Bouchard or the casting director of Bob's Burgers. And,
did you say Aziz?
Yeah, Aziz.
Aziz is like, I love that little kid.
Aziz is a reoccurring character for sure. Oh, my gosh. I can't even believe all those connections.
He's like this little punk nerd kid that's like, like, I mean, it's typical Aziz, but it's just a really good character in that show.
It's basically just Aziz. Yeah.
A little brown kid.
Yeah. So, now, it's fresh in my mind. I don't want to forget. We've been trying to push back how we talk about this music. But,
yeah.
But I think a perfect example of how their writing and their originality and their music come together is the Thomas Edison episode where Louise has to do like a project on Thomas Edison, but she's like, he's super boring, and Billy Eichner's the librarian.
Oh,
he's like,
yeah.
Look at this book. Like, just making him look up this weird website about how Thomas Edison publicly electrocuted an elephant named Topsy. And Gene writes a musical about it, and it's so good. And they get Aunt Gail, who's played by Megan Mullally.
Oh yes,
which is
yes.
Perfect.
And she's like crazy, right?
And
she draws animals' anuses.
Yeah, it's gross. But they get her to sing in the school musical presentation.
Yeah,
and the line is so good. It's, they'll say autopsy at my autopsy. And they do this whole musical about electric love, how Thomas Edison and Topsy the elephant fall in love. I'm gonna post the link in our show description, like, just to watch that scene. It's so funny and very reminiscent of like Disney theatrics.
Oh, so good. I think my favorite would have to be the dinner theater episode where Linda wants to make the restaurant into a dinner theater.
Oh, yeah.
Or she goes to a dinner theater and she can't stop singing. And so Bob's just like, oh, my God. But he wants to stop it. So he agrees to let her do a dinner theater in the restaurant. And then, after it fails, she's like, you could never do it again. But it's so ridiculous. It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's like a classic family putting on a play. But, an audience is not supposed to see that. But they do it for an audience. And it's just terrible. And she just, she blatantly states, I'm not the murderer. And then at the end, she goes, it was me! And everyone's like, you told us you weren't the murderer. So ridiculous. But then an actual robbery happens and everyone's convinced that it's the dinner theater. Oh my gosh. That's a voice too, isn't it?
Oh.
Is that Leo Spichemin?
Chris Parnell?
I think it is. Or I can't remember. We'd have to fact check.
There's so many voices. It's easy to miss. I almost missed.
I think it might be.
I mean, you probably might not even know who this guy is. Johnny Pemberton was a voice on an episode that I recently watched.
That name sounds so familiar.
And yeah, he's in a lot of different things, but he's in Son of Zorn that just came out. But he was he seriously had two lines and he was not there anymore. I was like, oh my gosh, it was Johnny Pemberton. I know it was Johnny Pemberton. And that's I had to look so it funny. Up. But these episodes are just filled with all these little cameos. Do you remember the Boys for Now band that they have in the show? The little teen boys band?
Yes, yes. So good.
I want to hear your secrets. Want to know your stuff. And they just make fun of all that stuff. Girls being girls being girls being girls.
And doesn't Louise get a, she gets her first crush in that episode?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, my gosh. I think, and one of the things that I read that was improvised was the Buckle It Up song. Where they're all sitting in the car and they're like, buckle it up, buckle it up, buckle it up, or you'll die. And Bob's like, kids, just buckle it up and be quiet.
Oh my gosh. Work hard or die trying, girl.
I'm going to post that in the description.
That is so funny.
It's seriously such a good song in general.
Yeah.
In general. It's just a well-made song.
Yeah.
And that's the funny thing. The Thomas Edison song, as absolutely hilarious as it is, it's something that gets stuck in your head. And then as you keep singing it to yourself, you're like, this is actually a really good jingle. This is a good tune. No wonder they've made it now into four LPs for everyone to enjoy. So, so funny. Yeah. And Linda's always singing about something Christmas magic. All the cold, hungry people dying in the streets.
Oh my gosh.
But me and my family will be warm tonight. Lynn, please stop singing.
Lynn. So good. I love his his feud with Jimmy Pesto across the street. He hates him.
He's the worst.
There's an episode where he makes him shave his mustache. I think that's the one where with the transvestite prostitutes.
You keep referring to that episode, man. I think we found your favorite. Sorry, for you.
Guys. Oh my gosh.
Common thread here.
All right, you have anything else with Bob's? That's what I got.
Gosh. I would say.
Well, you know what that means. It's time to. I cut myself off. Shoot. Well, you know what that means. It's the time of the show where I, Ben, am going to say some wacky facts. And then RJ, he's going to rate them in the style of baseball. All right, here are the facts. So far throughout the series, we have yet to see Louise, the youngest one, without a hat of some kind. Da, da, da.
Da, 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 da.
Me. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, that's the wacky fact. I thought there was more.
No, that's it.
That's very wacky, Ben. But how wacky is it? It's about as wacky as a man up to bat and James Buchanan has the ball.
Charles James Buchanan?
Yeah, he's famous pitcher. Throws it, and the batter swings, and it looks like it's going for a home run, bounces, and then into the stands. Easy ground rule double. But wait, the ref's got his arms up. It's a call. What's the call, ref? According to the referee and the officials who were also watching the game, the batter was not wearing a hat. So automatic only first base hit. Wow.
Wow, indeed. Don't know baseball.
First base wacky. And yeah. Also, we learned an important rule about baseball.
You have to wear that hat. Yeah, yeah.
You have to. If you get hit in the head with a 90 mile per hour fastball, oh my gosh.
Okay.
Your face would look like all those zombies in Walking Dead.
All right. Here's wacky fact number two. The cast of Bob's Burgers, they all record their dialogue together at the same time for every episode. Mm. Some of the casts are live in New York City, while the rest of the cast they live in Los Angeles, so they record over an ISDN line.
Mm. ISDN.
Mm-hmm.
UDONT say.
Do you know what it stands for?
No idea.
Okay, I don't either. I'm just going to take a stab. Internet Stabilization Designated Not.
Not. With a K?
No. Not. Nothing.
That's the worst abbreviation I've ever heard. It doesn't even make any sense.
Well, what is your guess?
ISBN?
ISDN.
ISDN. Interface Dimensional Network?
You skipped S. You're
fired. ISDN. I don't know. It's your job, not my job. Don't make me do.
I don't know what it stands for.
I do baseball. Okay. You do facts.
No, you don't. You ground roll double when it made it into the stands.
I don't know. Isn't that a ground roll double?
No, that's a home run.
If it bounces
into the stands,
yeah,
home run.
But okay,
okay, whatever. An ISDN line is basically a hookup to your computer that lets...
Oh, no way.
Okay. That lets you instantly communicate with people. So it's basically just like real-time stuff. Like this podcast coming to your ears.
I'm not recording right next to you. I'm actually somewhere in Detroit.
Real-time.
And you're somewhere in North Dakota.
Somewhere. But yeah, isn't that pretty interesting? They all do it at the same time.
All recorded
That's
together.
Not typical.
No, it's not. Yeah, and I actually watched an interview with them, and they said, sometimes we'll record and we'll just have sleepovers afterwards. Like,
for real?
Yeah.
I want to go.
I know. That's like a lot of fun. It's a fun cast.
Yeah.
That's pretty wacky in general. Just because, I don't know. I mean, that's a rare thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's even rare for just the sitcom family just to stay there, mm-hmm. you know, stay in the cast overnight, just all record. That's pretty wacky. That's a man up to bat, and H. John Benjamin with the ball.
Sure.
He throws it. The man swings, hits it, and it's going, and it's going. And wait, there's no one in center field. How is this gonna even be a baseball game? Oh, wait, there are people there. Because they're always all there, and they always all play in the baseball game together. And then they didn't catch it. Very anticlimactic, but obvious third base hit.
Who was the batter?
Look.
You said a man.
A man. Amanda Bynes. Amanda. She went crazy and lost herself in that analogy.
She's the man.
Now, dog.
No, that's a movie she's in.
Yeah, I know.
So a third base hit?
Yeah, easy.
Cool. Not a home run? Okay, cool. All right, here's the last wacky fact. It's wacky fact number three. To pitch the show to the Fox Network, the creators of the show made a 3-minute demo where Bob and Linda are grinding meat and Bob forgets that it's their wedding anniversary. The differences between the demo and the scene in the actual show included, obviously, some different character designs, some cruder animation, but also The Belchers were originally a family of cannibals making burgers out of the flesh of their victims.
Twist.
However, Fox found the idea of cannibalism a bit too dark for an animated sitcom, so it was taken out. Although, this led to the idea for the plot episode where the family is accused by the health inspector of being cannibals.
Wow.
Very roundabout way to say this was almost Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, this is almost
in animated form.
Sweeney Todd burger. Whoa. On Barler Street. Wow, that's. I mean, I'm just trying to soak that in general. I mean, we spent a good portion of the show praising the positivity and the uniqueness and difficulty that has. I mean, cannibalism. I don't think it'd be hard to spin positively, anyways.
I know. I think it's so interesting sometimes. I mean, this is a total side tangent. But I think it's so interesting sometimes that when creative successes come out of something that wasn't originally intended.
Mm-hmm.
Like American Beauty, the movie, was originally a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
No.
Kevin Spacey thought he was making a comedy. And that show, or that movie, is not a comedy.
Not at all, no.
It's just interesting that, like, sometimes people's original intent leads to something that is totally different.
Interesting. You just got to let the creative process flow.
Yeah. See, originally, they're supposed to be cannibals. That's not funny. That's weird. But it led to this, like, innocent, awesome show.
More children-oriented. Interesting. Okay. Well, let's put that on the field, RJ.
Please do, Rage.
Okay. I will do that. That's very easy.
Thanks, studio audience, with a mic.
That's a very simple Hannibal Lecter up to bat.
Oh.
Yeah. Never knew he played baseball.
Mads Mikkelsen or
Anthony Hopkins?
Yeah, Hopkins.
Hans. I mean, Hans.
Hans Mikkelsen.
Hans Mikkelsen.
Okay.
Up to bat. And he's got a giant ham bone, or so you think, for a bat. And Sir Anthony Hopkins has got the ball.
Okay.
And it's a meatball.
Was he knighted?
Sir Anthony Hopkins? I just said sir. It just came out so naturally. I didn't even second guess myself. I'm saying sir in this analogy.
Okay,
I have no idea whether or not.
Okay, I don't think he has been.
I don't have any idea.
But I wouldn't put it past him. He's
sure.
A quality guy.
Yeah, go Westworld. So he's got a meatball. Don't know what kind of meat it is.
Oh my gosh.
And he goes to throw the pitch. And it's not going very fast because it's a meatball. And then Mads Mikkelsen takes a swing.
Hans Mikkelsen
hits the meatball, and it goes flying into 10 different meatballs into the mouths of the other team, who are zombies.
Oh.
And then the referee goes, which means instant 10-run home run grand slam.
Whoa.
For Hans Mikkelsen. Hans Mikkelsen.
Just a bunch of Hannibal Lecters playing baseball with zombies.
If that ain't the American dream, I don't know what is, baby.
Baby.
You show me a rubber mound and a thick wooden bat, and they'll give you a bunch of cannibals that'll eat each other like crazy.
What the heck are you saying? Oh my gosh, that's really funny.
It's from Field of Dreams.
Wow, that took a turn. I did not expect that last analogy to be as hilarious as it was.
I know, the first two sucked nuts.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah, that's Wacky Facts, and now it's time of the part of the show for hashtag Whale Mail of the Week.
Time of the part of the show to the part of the show, the whale, the hashtag mail, the mail of the week.
Woo! What do we got? What do we got, Rage?
All right, Whale Mail of the Week reads, thanks for doing the podcast, guys. I'm a huge comedy nerd and always wished there was a show like yours, but couldn't find one. So thanks a lot. I'm assuming that's not sarcasm. I think I speak for all the comedy nerds when I say we appreciate it. Oh, that's nice. Judd Apatow is probably my favorite of the people in comedy. His movies and TV shows are all either hilarious, heartfelt, or both. Just saw This Is 40 and thought it was amazing, even though that's not the popular belief. Anyways, I'd like to hear you guys talk about Judd Apatow and see what your opinions are about his work. Thanks a lot, Aiden. Wow. What a nice message from the mayor of Comedy Nerds. Did you hear that?
He spoke on behalf of all Comedy Nerds.
That's amazing. Wow. I feel really honored, but also that's a very nice thing to say.
Thank you, Aiden. I appreciate your ears listening to this, and I also appreciate your words. What, RJ? I'm being just genuine.
That's just, your genuineness comes with like a tinge of like preschool teacher. I'm thankful that you remembered to say please, and also that you washed your hands after using the restroom. My wife teaches children, I hear that. No, the Judd Apatow thing is so smart. I've been pushing for a Pineapple Express episode for years.
For years.
You can't do it. You're stupid, and I won't let you. And I'm like, you don't get my problems, my strife. I will be the underdog.
I'd love to cover him because he has had his fingers in so many pies.
I hate that analogy. I hate it when you say that. It's so weird. No one says that. It's not
everyone says that.
I mean, I've had my finger in so many pies, I have lost count of the pies that my fingers have been in. And I only have 10 fingers, so you do the math. It's weird. Okay, I'm just going to
You make it weird when you do that voice.
Sure. My Will Forte impression. Yeah. No, that's great, because honest to God, we have, like, a huge, huge-ass list of these comedians, movies, TV shows. This is, like, this will take us approximately, if we do a podcast every week for the next... It's gonna take us 5.5 years before we get to Judd Apatow. But now that we have someone saying, hey, do an episode on Judd Apatow, boom, we're instantly in. Bumped up to almost sooner than ever.
2 weeks from next Wednesday.
Yeah, how about that? Catch me outside with Judd Apatow. How about that?
How about that?
No, but seriously, that's a great suggestion.
I feel like Catch Me Outside was like the fastest like rise and fall of a like internet thing. Do you know what I mean? Like it was immediately like everyone was like, "Oh, Catch Me Outside, Catch Me Outside," and then now it's like, "Oh, that's old. That's dumb."
Oh, really? You're saying a Catch Me Outside?
Oh,
meme?
Really? Catch Me Outside, like. I've already seen the Donald Trump Cash Now Hot is a Lego meme. Like, okay.
How about Da Mari?
Also, it's stupid.
Okay, Ben's getting triggered.
Sorry, guys. I'm internet triggered right now so bad.
You're Cash Me Outside triggered.
I just, why are we feeding into this girl's friggin' lunacy?
She's probably got a lot of problems, too.
But at the same time, like, I'm already laughing because I heard a story that she was on a plane and everyone was like, "Catch me outside, catch me outside." And she's like, "My life has been ruined."
She's British. It's terrible. Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, I saw that video. She punched a girl, I think.
On the plane?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Catch me outside on a plane.
I think that's the reason that Dr. Phil still exists.
I am sick and tired of these mother effing catch me outside on a plane.
Oh my gosh.
That makes sense, right?
So Judd Apatow.
So Judd Apatow, great suggestion. And all Aiden. You whalers out there, if you're thinking, man, I wish they would just cover Lucille Ball already. Me too.
Send you me just got to say something.
You just got to give us a little
text
nudge.
The mayor of Comedy Nerds, Aiden.
So get the ear of the mayor of Comedy Nerds and send an email and we'll make it happen sooner than later. Because, you know what,
we're in it to win it for the people that love it.
We're here for the people who love it. And speaking of here for the people who love it, we have a reprise of an old fun contest that we were bringing back.
Absolutely, yes. You couldn't be more incorrectly correct, RJ. We want to grant those comedy nerds, maybe even you, Aiden... Nudge, nudge. Free, shipping included. Why am I laughing? Puffy paint, limited LTD T-shirt.
Yeah.
4G.
4G LTE.
All you gotta do, and this is simpler than eating wheat, you just got to go on to iTunes, click on Why Am I Laughing, give us a rating. Here's the thing. You don't even actually have to do that. You just have to email in and say, hey, I rated you guys on iTunes.
But we would like
But you should be a man of your word, yeah. Aiden.
So it's a two-step process.
Sorry, Aiden. That is,
rate us on iTunes. Send an email to us saying, hey, I rated you guys on iTunes, and here's a mailing address for me. You could even give us a fake name so we don't know your full address and name. And we will send you a limited edition Whale Pod Puffy Paint t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And they're beautiful. And we have over 5,000 still sitting here in our studio. Yeah. Currently, our chairs are made up of Puffy Paint t-shirts. We literally do not have any room to move.
You can slim back into World Forte.
I know, he's on the mind. Give us a rating, send us an email, you get a shirt. Simple as that, and your money back, which is free, so joke's on you. But also $7.50.
Free money back. Shipping.
Yeah. No, just kidding. We'll pay for everything.
We pay for just the handling.
Yeah.
Not the shipping. That is something that's going on, and so jump in if you'd like to include yourself in a t-shirt. But RJ, other than t-shirts, where can people find us?
You can always find our podcast on the iTunes podcast app, rate us there, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher. We have also been added to the PodTyrant Network. Go to PodTyrant.com or GeekTyrant.com to hear some awesome podcasts, Screenwatchers Guild, Cinematic Sound Radio, Couch Tomato, and stuff for movie buffs.
Mm-hmm.
Some great shows, all kinds of movie news, movie and comic book news. And just again to reiterate, iTunes review, send an email, you get a shirt. Offers apply.
Simple as that.
Offers extend through March. This is a March only promotion.
It's called March Madness Comedy.
March Madness Whale Pod Puffy Paint t-shirt.
You can always check out our Twitter page. You just got to go to @WhalePod on the Twitterverse. If you go to Facebook, you can search Why Am I Laughing and like our page. But don't forget to email us Why Am I Laughing Pod ideas, topics, t-shirts, mailing, addresses, just talking about dresses, you know, all the good stuff. Anything you want to say, we're going to read it on the show. But if you also want to follow RJ on the Twitterverse, you go @RodolphoTheBrown.
And if you want to find Ben on Twitter, you can find him @CaptainPorch. His superhero alter ego.
You just gave away my secret identity. Thank you again for tuning in this week. You, who I'm talking to, the listener. We got to thank Ben Sound for our theme musics. Please rate us on iTunes. You'll get that free tea.
Get that free tea. It's the way to be. Don't ask me.
You can check back every Why Am I Laughing Wednesday for a new episode. I believe our next episode is on the cult classic, Ferris Bueller.
We'll see.
No, we won't.
I mean, guess.
Yeah, we will, but right.
I was carrying on the rhyming thing, but yeah.
Oh, cool.
You're right. It is Ferris Bueller. No questioning about it. Very excited.
For sure.
John Hughes classic, and can't wait to get into it.
But we'd like to leave you with what we always leave you. Comedy is all about...
I wish I had a triangle in the studio, but unfortunately our budget got cut. Thanks a lot, Obama.
I did want to say, hit me with your best shallot burger. too easy.